Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. Our congregation and myself would like to take this opportunity to thank you for listening to the sermon today. Our prayer is that the message will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you and keep you is our prayer.
Matthew chapter number 1. I just want to share a few thoughts. There's a lot of different scriptures or pieces of scriptures that we could use today as we talk about this special day of Christmas. But I want to go to Matthew chapter number 1. I want to begin reading in verse number 18. Last week we talked about the shepherds. And we've talked about the star before. We've talked about the wise men who came probably a year or two later. We've talked about various people and things, according to the scriptures, that were involved around the time of the birth of Christ. But I just want to talk about the Christ of Christmas today, because that's who it's all about. Verse 18, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 1, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise." This is how it happened. This is the true record. "When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Lord, I pray that you would help us in these few moments. Lord, there's been a lot going on the last few days, a lot of shopping, a lot of running to and fro, a lot of trying to find that close parking spot, Lord. A lot of family phone calls and gift cards we've been buying, and gifts, and Lord, cards we've been writing and mailing. And Lord, then this morning, Lord, it's been quite busy with family gathering, and or last night, Lord. But Lord, I beg you that just for a little while, you'd help us to all step away from all that and just be still for a little while so that we might know that you are God. Thank you for these that are here. Lord, I thank you. Lord, this, for me personally as a pastor, is a wonderful gift, and I thank you that these are here today. Bless our day today in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Please forgive me. I still have my cold. I can't seem to get rid of it. I was told about some medicine that I need to be taking, but I was told I wouldn't be able to drive, so I think I'll leave that type of medicine alone. Amen. I've been thinking a lot about what to say today, and I always like, if you've been around me long enough, I've always liked to hopefully be led of the Lord to give something that is appropriate for the occasion. And so today being Christmas Day 2011, I couldn't help but think about all the scriptures concerning the miraculous birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, if you study the Bible and you read the Bible like I do, you have a lot of faults and you have a lot of scriptures, not only in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament that'll pop up in your mind. And I kind of ransacked the Bible, looking here, looking there, looking everywhere. And this morning I got up early and I did some things. And then I finally sat down there at the dining room table and I came up here first and I had prayer right over here. And then I went home and I grabbed my Bible and I sat at the dining room table and I started reading chapter 1. And I started reading these verses, chapter 1, verses 18 all the way to verse 25. And I felt like the Lord began to kind of stir my heart about some things. And I want to just give you 3 points. And I beg you that you hear really well this morning. And I hope that it will be a real joy and a blessing, encouragement to your heart this Christmas day. But I thought about, number one, I wanted to talk about the misinterpretations of Christmas. The misinterpretations of Christmas. Although we're gathered here, and there's a lot of other good Bible-believing churches that are having services too around the world, there are a lot of folks that have a misinterpretation of what Christmas is all about. I enjoy, there's a lot of things about Christmas that is commercialized or secular. I enjoy. I guess we have tried to watch every Christmas kid movie that's been coming out. We record them. I still watch Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, I admit it. I still like the Abominable Snowman, amen. I still like Heat Miser and Snow Miser. I know the song, I'm Mr. Heat Miser. I better stop right there. I know all those, I love it. Our kids love it. And I tell Morgan and Matt, Morgan, she kind of wants to act like she's a little big now for those things, but I can watch her eyes. I can watch her facial expression. She still likes those things too. And I love those things. I love the decorations. Man, I love decorations. And I love Christmas decorations. I told my wife, I said, isn't it amazing that how special this time of the year is, how special Christmas, the birth of Christ, really is. It is at this time of the year they have the most glorious declarations. I mean, Easter's declaration doesn't compare. July 4th, thank God for America, it doesn't compare. It's just the most miraculous declaration. St. Patrick's Day doesn't compare to Christmas declarations. The way the city is decorated, the churches and your homes, and it's just nothing, no other time of year compares. You think of this, the most glorious music that's ever been written or composed is Christmas music. Christmas music. No greater music than some of the Christmas songs that we all love, whether it be scriptural or secular. There's just some wonderful composed Christmas music. I thought about this time of year, it seems, you know, and I know there's parts of the world that doesn't celebrate Christmas. I know that Iran does not celebrate. North Korea does not celebrate. Only 2 major cities in China celebrate. Thailand does not celebrate. And there's a lot of different cities that more of a communist nature that doesn't celebrate Christmas because Christ. But most of the world has some type of a celebration about Christmas. And I thought that it's a time of the year that there's just more, it seems to be. Now, my mind changed that day when I was harassed the other day, but for the most part, it's usually the time of year you see the most love, the most giving. Am I right? Are you with me? Now, I know that if you went shopping yesterday, you didn't see none of that. And I didn't see none of the other day whenever I was harassed, my wife and I. And it's a long story, I don't want to hear it. But I tell you, it's just so sad how people's attitudes are just stink. And I thought about, it's just a wonderful time of the year, as that song says. I love this time of the year. But I thought about how so many people, hear me out, they misinterpret what Christmas is all about. Don't get mad at me, Mom. But when all the emphasis is on a man that wears a red suit and has a white beard, something's wrong. We've never told our children that he brought their presents. We never have. Because first of all, I've worked hard to pay for them presents. I ain't giving some other man that only comes one time a year and sees my kid and tell him the credit. Amen. I work for them gifts. Amen. And second of all, we want God to get the glory and praise. We want our children to know all gifts come from the Lord. And nothing wrong with that. I mean, nothing wrong at all. I mean, I seen him the other day, last year at Kmart, and had a talk with him. But you can laugh. It's just a joke, amen. You know what I'm talking about. But that's not what it's about. It's not. It's about Christ. And so many people have misinterpretations of Christ. They think, and it's a great time to see family and friends. We'll be leaving here going to Greenville, South Carolina, spend about 2.5 hours, load the car back up, head to Florence, South Carolina, go to my parents' house, see my brother, his family, my sister, and we'll have Christmas there tonight. Then we'll spend the night, get up, and we're heading off to Mint Hill, North Carolina to see my wife's family, and may go see my grandparents. So, I mean, it's going to be a busy, busy time for us. And I'm looking forward to it. I don't get to see my parents or my grandparents or our aunts and uncles and nieces and nephews and cousins like a lot of folks do. We just don't get to. So it's a big time of the year for us, and we enjoy that. I enjoy the finger food. I'm telling you, we always have Christmas with my family, our four immediate family members, Morgan and Matt and my wife and I. A day, 2-3 days before we travel, because we want to have that intimate time. And so we're supposed to have it Saturday yesterday, but the kids talked us in to go ahead and have it Friday night so they could enjoy their gifts all day yesterday. And it was going to be a busy day for us, so we went ahead. And so we all got to pick one item that we'd like to have for our finger food. So I picked buffalo chicken wings. I like buffalo stuff. And Matthew likes sausage things, what he calls them sausage things, or sausage swirls. And we had pigs in a blanket, and we had chili cheese dip, hallelujah, and chips. And we had a nice kind of a Hershey's chocolate cake or something. Yeah, amen. We had a good time. And I enjoy that, but if that's all Christmas is to you, you are missing badly. The misinterpretations of Christmas. Number two, I want you to notice the misconceptions of Christmas. Look in verse number 18, okay? There's three misconceptions that people have about Christmas or the Christ of Christmas. Or notice the first misconception in verse 18. The first misconception is when people believe that this was just the birth of another man. Can I get a witness? Misconception number one is when people believe that this was just the birth of another man. Look at verse 18. Very simple. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Notice what the Scripture calls our Lord, Jesus Christ. The word Jesus is a very common word, especially in those days. Today, I said this last week, that folks are called Jesus around in Spanish parts of the land and other parts. And Jesus is a very common name. It's more common in those days than today, but it still has somewhat familiarity about it. But it says Jesus, but it doesn't stop there. He's called Jesus Christ. There might be a whole lot of Jesus, but there's not but one Christ. The word Christ means Messiah. And the reason we have in verse 18 a Jesus Christ is because Jesus speaks of His humanity and Christ speaks of His divinity. He was 100% man, yet 100% God. I can't explain that. There's so many things I don't know and I can't explain. I just have to claim Isaiah when God says, "Your ways are not my ways and your thoughts are not my thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways, my faults above yours." If I could put my God in this little brain of mine, He wouldn't be much of a God. But He's so wonderful and so glorious that I can't contain Him in my little brain. And we only use, what, 1/3 of our brain? Is that what it is? Anyway, most people. But if I used all my brain, I still couldn't contain with the knowledge of God. And so He's 100% man, yet He's 100% God. He is Jesus Christ. And the first misconception, people believe that this was just the birth of another man. This is not the story of the birth of Muhammad. Amen. This is not the miraculous birth story, and this one is called Buddha or Joseph Smith, Mary E. Baker, No. There's only one Christ. There's only one Messiah. There's only one Savior. And people today have this misconception that His birth was the birth just like any other man, but it was not. The second misconception people have today is when people believe that Joseph was His biological father. The second misconception is when people believe that Joseph was His biological father. I want you to go in verse 18 again. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. The Bible makes it very clear in verse 18 that at this time when Mary is told by the angel Gabriel that she is going to be pregnant and she will be given birth to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that Joseph and Mary was not even married at this time. They were espoused. Now, I don't want to go through what Jewish customs was during this time, but actually, the Jews believe that when a man and a woman are engaged, that by law, they are considered, by law, married. They've not went through the formalities. They've not went through the actual marriage ceremonies that will come whatever the date is. But it was, if you were to break up with someone, we use the word break up. If you were to break up with somebody that you were engaged to, you had to go through a divorce process. It was not just take your ring off and throw it back in his face that I found me a new man. Amen. Got more money than you got. That's not how it worked with the Jews. And so the Bible makes it clear that Mary was what? Espoused to Joseph, and it was what? This is very important. I believe every scripture, every word is inspired of God. Before they came together, we don't need to explain that, do we? That's a union that happens between a husband and a wife. The Bible makes it very clear that you better understand that Joseph was not the biological father of Jesus Christ. They say that the children have the blood of their father, or that's how it all starts. And I will tell you this, Jesus did not have the blood of Joseph in his veins. If he had the blood of Joseph in his veins, then he would have been a sinner too, like Joseph. But he was the Son of God. The third misconception that people have is not only when they believe that this was just the birth of another man, or number two, when people believe that Joseph was a biological father, but number three, the misconception is when people believe that this birth was the act of a man. Look what it says in the latter part of verse number 18, and Miss Angie and Morgan, get ready. It says she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Go to verse 20. But while he, Joseph, thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him into a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. Don't fear to marry her. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost.
O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. On your knees, oh, hear the angels' voices, O night divine, O night. When Christ was born, oh night divine, oh night, oh holy night. Led by the light of faith supremely beaming with glowing hearts, By His cradle we stand. Oh, the world is a... I messed it up. Led by the light of faith supremely beaming with glowing hearts, by His cradle we stand. O'er the world a star is sweetly gleaming. Now come the wise men from Orient land. The King of Kings lay in a lowly manger in all our trials, born to be our friend. He knows our need, our weakness is no stranger. Behold our King, before Him lowly been. Behold our King, before Him lowly been.
Amen. The misinterpretations of Christmas, the misconceptions of Christmas, and then last of all, I want to mention about missing out on Christmas. Missing out on Christmas. I believe there's three reasons why people miss out on Christmas. I believe, number one, they miss out on Christmas because they don't believe in the reason that Christ was born into this world. They miss out on Christmas because they do not believe in the reason why Christ was born into this world. Look at verse 21. And she, Mary, shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Go ahead, Carly.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm. Ryan, Virgin Mother and Child, Holy Infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
I believe, number two, the reason people miss out on Christmas, not only because they don't believe in the reason that Christ was born. He wasn't born to heal folks. He wasn't born to just be here because nothing had to be done in heaven. But He was born to save people from their sins. Hallelujah. I'm glad that it doesn't stop at a manger. Some folks don't mind a Christ that stays in a manger. But I believe, number two, people miss out on Christmas when people don't believe in the reason that Christ died for this world. They miss out on Christmas, number one, when they do not believe the reason that Christ was born into this world. And number two, they miss out on Christmas when people do not believe in the reason that Christ died for this world. I hope you understand today that the reason that our Lord came into this world is because we could not go to Him. We were lost. We were sinners. And our relationship had been broken ever since the Garden of Eden with God Almighty. And you and I need to be justified. You and I need to be redeemed back to God. And Jesus came, born in a manger, with one purpose, one mission. And that was to die on a cross for our sins. Had to shed His blood because our blood was contaminated. He had to give His blood because His blood was holy. Our blood was unholy. He gave His blood for a sacrifice to His Father for our sins, Because His blood is pure, our blood is impure. He gave His life's blood on the cross that we might be saved. He was born to die. He was born to die. And I believe the third and final reason people miss out on Christmas every year is not only because they don't believe in the reason that Christ was born into this world, and number two, because they don't believe in the reason that Christ died for this world, but number three, they miss out on Christmas when people just don't believe in the Christ of Christmas. Look at verse 21. "And He shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled. This was a prophecy being fulfilled. God always keeps His promises. "Which was spoken of the Lord by a prophet in the Old Testament, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel." Why would He be called Emmanuel? What is the interpretation of that name? What does that name mean? It simply means that when Jesus came to this world and He walked 33 and a half years, that it was actually from 30 years of ministry begun to 33 and a half years, it was actually God with us. And that's what Christmas is all about. Is that God loved us so much that He not only wanted to be with us, but He went a step further and He went all the way to Calvary and shed His blood so that we might be with Him. So that we might be with Him. "Once there were three trees on a hill in the woods. They were discussing their hopes and their dreams when the first tree said, Someday I hope to be a treasure chest. I could be filled with gold and silver and precious gems. I could be decorated with the most expensive carvings, and everyone will see my beauty. The second tree said, Someday I will be a mighty ship. I'll take kings and queens across the waters, and I'll sail to the corners of the world. Everyone will feel safe in me, because of the strength that I have. Finally, the third tree said, I want to grow to be the tallest and straightest tree in all the forest. People will see me on top of the hill, and they'll look up to my branches, and they'll think of the heavens and of God and how close to them I can reach. I will be the greatest tree of all time, and people will always remember me. After a few years of praying and hoping that their dreams would come true, a group of woodsmen came and they began to cut down the first tree. And when he came to the first tree, he said, This looks like a strong tree. I think I should be able to sell the wood to a carpenter. And he began cutting it down. The tree was happy because he knew that the carpenter would make him into a treasure chest. There at the second tree, the woodsman said, This looks like a strong tree too. I should be able to sell it to the shipyard. This second tree was happy because he knew that he was going to become a mighty ship. When the woodman came upon the third tree was frightened because he knew that if they cut him down, his dreams would not come true. One of the woodsmen said, I don't need anything special from this tree, so I'll take this one. And so he just cut it down. When the first tree arrived at the carpenter's, he was made into a feed box for animals. He was then placed in a barn and filled with hay. This was not at all what he had hoped and prayed for. The second tree was cut and made into a small fishing boat. His dreams of being a mighty ship and carrying kings and queens had come to an end. The third tree was cut into large pieces and left alone in the dark. Years went by and the trees forgot about their dreams. Then one day a man and a woman came to a barn. She gave birth and placed a baby in the hay in the feed box that was made from the first tree. The man wished that he could have made a crib for the baby, but this manger would have to do. The tree could feel the importance of this event, and he knew that he had held the greatest treasure of all time. Years later, a group of men got into a fishing boat made from the second tree. One of them was tired and went to sleep. While they were out on the waters, a great storm arose, and the trees didn't think it was strong enough to keep the men safe. The man that was sleeping woke up, and he said, "Peace, be still," and the storm stopped. At this time, the tree knew that he had carried the King of all kings in his boat. Finally, someone came and got the third tree. It was carried through the streets as the people mocked the man who was carrying it. When they came to a stop, this man was nailed to the tree. He was raised up in the air to die at the top of the hill. When Sunday came, the tree came to realize that it was strong enough to stand at the top of the hill and be close to God as possible, because Jesus, God's Son, had been crucified on it. The moral of the story is that when things don't seem to be going your way, always know that God has a plan for you. If you place your trust in Him, He'll give you great gifts, just like these trees so desired, but maybe in a different way that you could ever imagine. We don't always know what God's plans are. We just know that His ways are perfect. His ways are right. And His ways are always best. First tree wanted to be a treasure chest. It held the greatest treasure this world could ever imagine. Jesus Christ. The second tree wanted to carry kings and queens across waters. But he was able to be the boat for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The third tree thought he had been forgotten. And all he wanted to do was to be left alone on that hill and to grow straight so that everybody could see him and know the significance of him. He was chopped down. He was made into a Roman cross. And that cross was put on Golgotha's hill. And thank God for the significance of the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm glad it didn't stop at a cradle. I'm glad that there was a cradle. There was a cross. But thank God there's also a crown. He's victorious. We serve a risen Savior. Thank God that Jesus was born that we might be reborn. The Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons and daughters of men could become the sons of God. Amen. Olivia's going to end our service. She's going to sing to us. Brother Wendell will be back for tithe and offering. Merry Christmas to you. I love you. Pray for each other as we all travel. Enjoy your family. Merry, Merry Christmas. Amen. Amen. Olivia, go ahead.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. praise God, 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 praise God.
Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible says in John, chapter number 14, that Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.